There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile from pretty close to the Midway here at the Greater Gulf State Fair. This week coming up, a fair open at 4 o'clock, and of course the big final weekend coming up here in 5 days. So hopefully you get out and get to be part of this. Also, I want to say I got some of your texts from last hour about the costume change, this thing I saw in when I flew into Albany, New York to go up to see my daughter at school. What I thought was like the inverse of, maybe we'll talk to our next guest about this, like in high school, like having a shirt that I wasn't supposed to wear, like, you know, T-shirt or something. Lord knows what I had on it. Probably wasn't too wild, but having that stashed outside so I could put it on to go out, that mom and dad, I couldn't have cleared, you know, security there with my parents. And then the flip side, I saw these, you know, people my age, they're fans of the band Phish that was in Albany, New York for 3 nights. They had all their party clothes on, but I wondered if when they left the house or dropped the kids off at grandma's or their kids are grown, whatever, they left in their normal attire and then dressed up for the plane ride to go to Albany. So have you... You remember those days from high school, and are adults doing that same thing too? Let's bring on our next guest, our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal. You know what I'm talking about? Did you ever have that moment like there was something that, like some kind of shirt you're not supposed to wear, but you snuck out and put it on to go out to the party?
Yeah, I seem to remember some like Bart Simpson, you know, shirts or something that we never would have been allowed to wear, but that was what the cool kids had. So you have to borrow them and wear them. But, I mean, looking back, that's pretty pretty trashy. But saying something about eating my shorts or something like that, you know.
Right, fairly tame in today's world. I mean, I saw the flip side. I saw these plane full of people out of Atlanta going into Albany as I was going up there, and I was like, I figured it out pretty fast. I was like, there must be a Phish show up here, and it was. And they were all dressed up for the show, but they were all like, you know, 50 years old, yeah, from 40 to 55 years old. I'm like, y'all didn't leave the house like that. Y'all put this on the car. You and the wife put this on the car to go to the show. You know, left the kids and be like, aha, now we can go be ourselves. So I was just wondering if anybody else had seen that on the flip side of what we did as teenagers. Have grown-ups started doing this? So I think it's worth
probably
delving
so
into. Hey, man, I had a lot to talk about. I want to talk about today's email, but I also want to talk about yesterday's email and Capital Journal this week. As you addressed what had happened, and you and I have been talking, I don't know, what, 2 months off and on about this press to remove Admiral Davis as the head of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. And I guess, I mean, I want to go through the whole thing, but I didn't know there was a whammy button. Did you know this, the executive power whammy button? Because I sat here and talked about the, hey, it's 1 degree of, or 2 degrees of separation. The governor can appoint people on the board. The board decides who's the head of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. So the governor would have to fire people from the board and replace them to have that removed. And then all of a sudden I hear there's just a whammy button that she can use to remove him.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm no lawyer. I've had to deal with some of these statutes and authorities and things in the past, and I do understand that supreme executive authority is pretty broad for the governor. And so, you know, why didn't she do that from the beginning? I think she and really everybody didn't really want this process to get so messy, right? And yet it did. And remember, there was that agreement, I guess, about a month ago that Admiral Davis was going to serve out to the end of the year. Everybody seemed to be happy with that. Mm-hmm. But then things got complicated because the board went out of its way to disagree with the governor's assessment, disagree with finance department's assessment, and say, no, we want him to stay on. And the real problem there was that you had board members say that they felt manipulated by Davis himself, that he orchestrated that, and that went against the Kumbaya agreement with the governor. To serve
well,
out
I don't
to
know
the
how
end
kumbaya
of the year.
It was. I mean, it was a pretty heavy hand. It was like, hey, here's your future. How you could, I mean, because she went to Twitter with that. Remember? I mean, that was shocked me. She went with Twitter like he needed to resign today. Then they work out the deal. But you're talking about the
right.
The pressure also. I wasn't there, but I can read and make assumptions, which are dangerous. I know that the pressure also came from the governor's office to try to whip the votes there to go her way to call for the to keep the removal up and not to call him back in.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I think there was certainly a feeling from the governor's office, from other members of the board, that Davis was going against the agreement that he had by trying to whip up support, for this vote of confidence, if you will. And that's what the governor said. Hey, you're breaking our agreement. You're breaking this, and so you need to go now. So, I mean, that's the way it was. But you're right. I mean, the Supreme Executive Authority, the whammy button was pushed. I think she didn't do it before then because everybody wanted a smoother process. None of this ever should have gotten out of hand like this. All of this is unnecessary because there never should have been the ethics complaint that aired a bunch of dirty laundry. It never should have been leaked. And if it's not, if none of that happens, if Kent Davis doesn't file a frivolous ethics complaint and it's not leaked by either he or somebody else on the board, then none of this, we're not even talking about this. All of the disagreements that were interagency between the Veterans Affairs and Mental Health and the Department of Finance, that would have remained, under wraps. That would have remained internal. So as much as I like Kent Davis, and he's done a lot of great things at the department, better, really taking it leaps and bounds ahead, he always has himself to blame in terms of starting a process by which there was no going back. There was no point of return. And so, again, the ethics complaint is never filed. It's never leaked. We're not even talking about this. So that was a mistake and, one that was just hard to get back.
You talk about the ethics complaint being frivolous, and I've talked to, I'd say all sides. You're the you and maybe one other person that has talked about it not being merited. Other people have. Give me like your cliff notes on why you think it was wrong.
Well, I mean, it was first of all the director of the ethics commission said as much. Said that even if these allegations were true, that they're not ethics violations. That's what the director of the ethics commission says. So, like, even if this long list of things that actually some of our reporting pointed out that it wasn't true, right? They talked about a board member speaking at a meeting that he wasn't even attending, and some real just inaccurate factually kind of things. But again, the director of the ethics commission, after reviewing the complaint, said that even if these allegations were true, 100% true, they're not ethics violations. It's basically just a complaint list of we disagreed with you over that, all that. But it's accusing somebody of an ethics violation is accusing them of a crime. And it wasn't just the mental health commissioner. It was the counsel at the Department of Finance. It was a long list of other employees in the executive branch that were accused of crimes by Kent Davis. That's no small matter, including a cabinet official. And so for that to be, and it, leaked to the media in order to, make them all look bad. And so, yeah, that's beyond the pale. That would get anybody fired. In this case, she didn't, she waited till three steps down the line to make it a Supreme Executive Authority. But if you go through all of the reporting we did on this, it was just always going to be impossible for Kent Davis to retain his job. And again, it goes all the way back to the ethics complaint. That's where this started. None of this would be public. It would all have been internal. But publicly accusing somebody of a crime, you know, that'll stir up some stuff.
Yeah, I'm also interested. Maybe go ahead.
With that, Sean, I'm sorry. I've got to go. We just had a guest walk in the studio for Capital
Journal.
Okay,
well, I appreciate it. Just remind folks of the website and the TV show.
ALDailyNews.com, that's the site. And, yes, Capital Journal, Friday nights at 7:30 and Sundays at noon on APT.
All right, Todd, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. There goes Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. Yeah, and some people are texting in about his comment. Like, Todd has been, and he hasn't wiggled on this, that he thinks it's wrong. It's just, even if you took out, well, we'll come back for the break. I want to hear from you on this, and then we can discuss at 343-0106. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. We are live from the Midway at the Greater Gulf State Fair. Glad to be out here doing this and then get ready to come back out throughout the week and enjoy the fair activities. Right now, I want to check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. If you didn't notice, y'all, Halloween's coming up this week, and collectibles. Anna, Ron was talking about some of those kind of Halloween vibed. I know you already got all the Christmas stuff out, too. Got anything else Halloween vibed?
Yeah. We have Halloween-themed jewelry. And Gail has informed me that we do have Christmas jewelry available as well, with Santa, snowflakes, snowman too. But Halloween is, you know, for some people, they celebrate it pretty much all year round. But, yeah, we have 1 ounce silver pumpkins available. They're an ounce of silver that's in the shape of a pumpkin. We have Happy Halloween silver rounds available. And there's just spooky-themed silver rounds or bars and jewelry available at the shop as well.
All right, they can come in and check that out. What are your hours during the weekdays?
Monday through Friday, we hear them from 9 till 5. And then This Saturday coming up, we are going to be open from 9 till 2.
It's the first Saturday of the month, right? Y'all do that?
Yes, sir.
All right, good stuff. Tell them how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile, just block of Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
All right, Anna, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Anna checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Go back a little bit here on these texts and catch up from last hour. Unnamed texter said, Sean said, did I just hear somebody with the fair saying they're going to have banjo music and violin? I don't think that's going to work, violin at the fair. Yeah. They didn't say fiddle. They said violin. It got past me. Yeah, that thing becomes a fiddle in the setting. Got to go listen to the orchestra there at my daughter's college, and there's a big music bent at that school as well. And it was interesting. I left there thinking, you know, it's like the best high school athlete, right? They're like Mr. Football. Let's say they're Mr. Football at their school, and they get recruited and they go to a college where, guess what? Everybody else was Mr. Football. You know, it's just next level. Like, you don't stand out. This was amazing. I listened, and they were, unnamed texture, they were playing violins up there and all the other instruments. And so my children had done strings over the years in school. So I've been to some of those shows where the violins played to the point that it starts giving you like a headache and maybe gives you a little twitch from the audio. These were all college kids that were their Mr. Whatever or Miss Whatever for their instrument playing. And these kids were unreal good. But, yes, I agree with you. If it's a violin, it's out here. It is a fiddle. And Chris in Orange Beach, I want to get to that in just a second. He sent me a picture. I'm going to get to that. Let's see. Joshua said that Todd Stacey Brown noses for the governor. He said, yes, he's brown-nosed for the governor consistently. Yes, he has been consistent on that. Terry says, come on, Todd. You can see the governor's office hand up your back, pulling the string and moving your mouth. The only thing frivolous is the Ethics Commission itself. Agreed. There's a whole... I don't think it's frivolous. I think how it acts is frivolous. I think we need one. I think we need one that does a better job, Terry. The governor's got her bloomers knotted because veterans rebelled when she tried to fire Davis because he revealed the corruption in the administration. Remember, I keep coming back to this, too. How big of a play is this for the governor that she would take this decision? And I know everybody's like, well, she didn't run again, Sean. I get it. But she still has to govern. Like, this is just bad politics. It's really bad politics of going against what I would argue would be out of 370,000 veterans in the state and their affiliated friends and family. I think you get close to a million people in Alabama that do have a dog in this hunt. This texter says, this is from Dave. Okay. Thank you. Dave says Todd is saying that if Davis kept his mouth shut, veterans would not know they got screwed. Adam said Todd didn't say a word about the way Ivy handled the situation at the last board meeting. Do you think he's just trying to continue to ingratiate himself to her? I don't know. You know, Todd's been a fair arbiter on a lot of things, but he is definitely more friendly with the governor's office than me. That's not saying much, right? But he's definitely more friendly. I just stand back and go, the why, right? Like, why is this the hill to die on for the governor's office? And I am trying here, hopefully this next month. I've got people that I've talked to about this on the veteran side of it. They kind of just they were just waiting, right? And that makes sense, too. Before last week's meeting, they were just waiting to see, because no reason to charge them out if it's going to work out your way, right? But I think those people hopefully will start coming on with me in the next couple weeks here, and we'll keep this conversation going. I don't get exactly why they made the move they did. So we can keep that conversation going. But, yeah, Todd's saying that all square. The executive power thing, too. And Todd had to run to do another interview. Had somebody walk in. I think he's interviewing Jimmy Rain. But one thing I wanted to ask is, and if it's not Todd, I'm sure our friends at Lanyap might be already working on this. I know I talked about it with Dale Leash last week. This executive power, this is interesting. To know how far does that range in Alabama? How far can this go? How far can the executive branch, if you have a scenario laid out where you go, well, that's not the province of the governor, you know, they have to go through this board or that board. Is that true, or is it just a cloak over it? In reality, the governor, if they want to politically and take the political shot for it, can just do the whammy button and knock it out. It's a good question for understanding Alabama politics. Here I feel like I have a good handle on it, and then something like this happens, and I go, well, back to the drawing board, right? Kind of like we did during all the moves they tried to make against Trump when he was in office. People say, well, can they do that? And I'd say, hold on, I got to go back and look because I didn't study this, right? This was not things we studied growing up, so I had to educate myself on things. Chris sent me a picture. And said, I'm going to call this house Undecided, Still on the Fence, which is funny. That's my kind of comedy, too, Chris. And a house that's got Trump signs and, you know, all over this house down in Orange Beach. This brings me up to something I had put in my show notes. And they got 8 Trump signs on this house down in South Baldwin. Well, I saw something, I think, and that's interesting. I don't see as much of that around here, Chris. You see plenty of Trump stickers and signs. But I was in New York, okay? And I told you, I think when I got back from hauling my kids' stuff up to college, taking the Beverly Hillbillies pickup truck full of stuff up to her dorm room, I saw the signs up there then. It's interesting to see the signs in a place like New York. And seeing them in Pennsylvania, too. Pennsylvania is a key. It's a battleground state. New York is not. But you saw plenty of Harris walls. And we'll come back from the break and talk about this. Saw plenty of Harris walls. But I saw Trump signs, regular Trump Vance yard signs there as well, at about maybe one-third what you saw Harris walls. But I also saw people that took the whole side of their mechanic shop or their barn to do Trump signs. They're in very blue New York. We'll talk about this when we return. Midday Mobile coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile. I'm glad to have you here on this Monday, and it's a good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and look at that inventory to start the week off. Hey, David.
Hey, bud. Yeah, the inventory is really good. We got everything in that we bought last week. Actually sold one of the trucks before it actually got here off of Pitchers, and the guy's he's picking it up now because it just came in yesterday. And it's Find a Friend a Car Day. We've got two previous customers that we're finding vehicles for. One's a 2023 F-150. It came in over the weekend. He'll take delivery of it this week. And another's a 2023 Tahoe with 20,000 miles or 15,000 miles, excuse me. So, yeah, we can do all the things that we always talk about, and it's proven today.
You know, we hadn't talked about this in a couple of weeks. People hadn't heard us talk before. Do what you've done for me a couple of times is go headhunt that vehicle, too. If they come out, look at the inventory, they say, hey, I'm actually looking for this vehicle and that color, this, that, and the other. You're really good at finding it.
Well, you know, sometimes it's hard to have a $60,000 vehicle in your inventory. And if you've got people that want that late model Tahoe or whatever, that's what these things cost. And we're still saving them, you know, $25,000 off what a new one cost. We get the color they want. You know, both of these vehicles, we actually, the F-150, it was actually better equipped than what the customer wanted for the price he wanted to pay. And the Tahoe is exactly what Matt wanted, so it all works out.
Okay, tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good week, bud.
All right, you too. There goes David McCrary from LCM Motor Cars. Yeah, I want to get into this. I got some more text on it. But, yeah, it was interesting as well. And I got to put some pictures up. I went Saturday, so not far from my daughter's college, is Woodstock, New York, the Woodstock, right? And so some of this I saw sign-wise going into Woodstock, which you think about it, it's like the hippie tidal pool of Woodstock. There are hippie tidal pools, I call them, I don't know anybody else calls them that, around the country. You know, the way a wave washes in, and when it recedes at the beach, you got tidal pools, you got pockets of water that sit there. There are places around the country that when, you know, back in the 60s, the hippies were kind of everywhere. There were areas where they stayed. And actually, they're, you know, a lot of them pretty cool communities, actually. But obviously, Woodstock, New York, one of those places. It was a tidy little town full of, you know, taco stands, guitar places, and hemp shops. I mean, it was, you know, what you would think. But going in there Saturday, driving in, there you could see Trump signs around Woodstock, New York, not just in the general, you know, the overall area, you can see Trump signs, but they're going into Woodstock. So we're going into Woodstock, New York, and to see these signs, maybe a third, maybe, you know, two-thirds Harris Walls, one-third Trump signs, but to see people do what I saw on the sides of, you know, auto mechanic shops and barns and all that, big signs, like, I guess the homemade Trump signs or big signs that covered the side of those buildings. It was interesting to me. Those people, while they're, you know, in the minority, they're expressing their opinion, I would guess. I mean, maybe not in that, well, maybe at Woodstock they were, but maybe in the rural, you know, parts of New York, they're not a minority, but obviously in the state, they are. It will go blue. It's not up for grabs. Or I know Trump said, what was it last night? Yeah, we probably get, or might get New York too. I'm like, I wouldn't hold your breath on that one. But it was interesting. I saw a sign, too. This was an interesting take. And for people that, you know, the people that are all in for Trump, he really doesn't, I mean, by the nature of them being all in for Trump, he doesn't have to court them much anymore. But what about the people, the undecided? And I know, how many people are left undecided? I don't know. I'm sure it's small. But I saw a sign. I was driving from Albany down to that area of New York where my daughter's in school. And it said, we don't, this is an interesting take. I'm always, you know, the prodigal son or the book not matching its cover. I thought this was an interesting sign. It was a pretty big one they had, got off the interstate there. And it said, we don't like him, but we need him. Trump Vance 2024. That was, you don't see that kind of, I haven't, maybe you do. I haven't seen that kind of nuance elsewhere, but I saw that sign. We don't like him, but we need him. I wonder if that's what's going to show up on Election Day as well. You know, I worry about getting a positive feeling like I do about what to expect next week, what just 8 days away, or you know, next week on voting day. Because I worry if you get too positive, you know, we can go through the whole thing. I think people will be, I'm not worried about Alabama, but worried about people getting too positive. But I do feel a vibe that is, and isn't that the new term? Everybody uses vibes for things. Even though they said the vibes, what were they saying? The vibes for last night at MSG, MSG were racist and let's see, you know, racist vibes going on there. I think that's what one of the stories said. Now you could say what Tony Hinchcliffe said in the beginning, but he's also, that wasn't Trump. That was a stand-up comic. You can take that to task, maybe. Why? And Dalton and I talked about this earlier. Why would you have? And I like Tony Hinchcliffe. I think he's very funny. Why would you have him on there to open it up, knowing that he's going to be edgy? This is probably not the time. This is time to play prevent defense, right? This is time to not what the Harris campaign is doing is, you know, trying for Hail Marys. That's not what Trump should be doing. That's my feeling. But do you think that in other places that feeling is going to be so strong that people don't get out and vote? I don't know. It feels differently than the last cycle to me. It really does. So we'll see what happens. And I'd like to hear from you, too. And not about Alabama. I mean, obviously, this is a sure thing for Trump here, but yeah, we can talk about what is not a sure thing, and that's the AL2 race. But nationally, do you think there's going to be people showing up to vote? More of those people that maybe didn't have the yard sign up in a state like Pennsylvania to go out and vote Trump? Because Pennsylvania is like, and I've explained this before, so I got a lot of family comes from there, and you take Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's a little different than Philly. It's not the same as Philly, but both are blue pockets in the state. Okay, you then had the area, you go up to like Scranton, you know, where Biden was from. There you had a wedge of blue of union votes. That seems to be eroding. We've seen the stories and we've seen what some of these unions have done while the heads of the unions are, you know, all in for the Democrat. It's not exactly what's happening with the rank and file members of the union there. But outside those three areas, and I like I said, I think that swath like from north of Wilkes-Barre up through Scranton, heading the New York line, pretty strong blue, but I think that is moderating some. It has become purple because of the way the union folks are voting. But the rest of the state is Trump country. So they're really going to have to run up the numbers and get turnout in those big blue pockets in the southwest and southeast of the state of Pennsylvania to pull it through. And it was interesting, too. Everybody talked over the weekend about what Fetterman had to say. I know Dan and Dalton talked about it this morning. I think Fetterman, with all the wackiness early on, which may have come from, you know, a medical condition that he's come out of, to hear him talk now, he seems to be a fair arbiter. Like, he is still a Democrat, he's against Trump, but he's kind of looking around Pennsylvania, and instead of just screaming at people that support Trump, he's trying to understand it. I thought it was, and maybe I can get some clips by tomorrow's show to play from that Fetterman interview. I thought that was interesting, very interesting to me. So it's interesting to see the signs in another place, you know, to go somewhere that isn't home and see it. Adam says here at home, he said, Sean, I live on Old Dolphin Way, and the Harris figure signs outnumber Trump signs by probably 15 to 20 to 1. I've never seen it like this. I suspect the Trump households just don't want to be judged. There's probably that. Because we know, I mean, we can look at the polling, Adam. I don't think Harris Walz is going to win. I mean, it might be a precinct or two in Alabama, but they're not going to win here in the – Trump's going to win the general Mobile Baldwin County area, right? But those signs are there. So it's – now here's Michael. He's here. He's in Waco, Texas right now. Said, here in Waco, Texas, I've barely seen a Kamala Wall sign, almost solely Trump. And but it is interesting. Maybe I saw more – because I'm looking at New York as being in a different place, right, in a different voting pattern, and to see what the signs maybe resonated with me more because it's not here. So you're seeing the flip side in Texas. I wonder if you're in Waco, but what if you went into Austin, Michael? What would it look like in Austin? Let's see. Terry said, If you are still undecided, the fact that Walz promised AOC he would make her speaker should scare you to vote for Trump. Just as scary as Trump promising MTG the speakership. Yeah, we don't. I don't think either of those things need to happen. But the coalition, and I, you know, the coalition that's put together, the people, I mean, outside just Trump and Vance. But you can discuss RFK Jr. being part of the campaign. You can talk about Tulsi Gabbard being part of the campaign. Maybe the tent is really expanding. We'll see in the votes. I mean, the people carrying the weight for Trump right now are people that are outside the normal Republican tent. Will the voters show up for that? It's interesting. And I think a big podcast weekend, of course, for Trump and Vance with the Joe Rogan part. You know, and people, one of the clips that's been played a bunch, and I think Dalton played it this morning too, is where, and I'm paraphrasing here, so I listened, half watched. I mostly listened to the podcast because it's, I'm doing stuff or whatever, and listened to it, and when Trump was, you know, talking about, well, basically I'm the only guy that would do this. My opponent, Kamala, wouldn't do this. And Joe Rogan put, saying, well, I've invited her, and I hope she comes on, and I'd like to talk to her. You know, sometimes, and that's what, I'm sure he got pushbacks in the comments, not like that guy worries about the comments, but that's the same thing as I do. And I think it's more interesting. I want to open it up to both sides in the AL2 race. I want to hear from both of them. Doesn't mean I agree with somebody. It means it's worth talking. Echo chamber is not interesting to me. You know, one thing I think the station does that you don't hear with syndicated talk radio is we let people come on for 30 minutes or for an hour and talk about their ideas instead of just being a sound bite, right? Or and in doing that, when you listen to those podcasts, whether it was two of my favorite podcasts, they were on. Trump was on with Joe Rogan. J.D. Vance was on with Tim Dillon. In both of those, I think you not only get to hear policy and planks of the platform and all that, you get to hear more about their personality. Number one, that they have, that their depth of knowledge is deeper than one inch. You know, like I look at, when I hear Vice President Harris speak on a lot of subjects, I feel like her knowledge is, you know, an inch deep. When you hear Vance speak, like on the, he's obviously, I'm not going to say he's a smart guy, obviously, but his knowledge base is deep, and he has exercised the brain muscle to defend those opinions. But in addition, while he does that, you get to know a little more about the person, I think, in doing that. And that's why those are good. And people are like, hey, it's amazing to have a place of long-form discussion. We've been doing that for a long time, and we also podcast our shows, which obviously a lot of y'all know looking at the numbers. But if you don't, the 56 hours a week of live local shows you hear at FM Talk 106.5 are up in a podcast form. You get them straight through our website. You can get them anywhere that you download podcasts. The fastest way to get them is you get them through our app, the FM Talk 106.5 app, which is available at the App Store and at Google Play. When you go to our app, you'll see the button there for all the podcasts. You can get the most recent ones. You can go back through the library and get something. Maybe you need to hear Bill Finch from 4 weeks ago, like I do. You can go back and get it there. But make sure you do look for our app at the App Store and at Google Play. But, yeah, so long form and that discussion, we've been doing that for a long time. I guess we play we're a little deeper than one inch on what we do out there. All right, we'll come back and grab some phone calls and text at 343-0106, 343-0106. Midday Mobile live from the Greater Gulf State Fair on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my friend Trey. He's been doing it for 16-plus years, getting rid of junk in Mobile, Baldwin counties, at homes, at storage units, outside of homes, wherever. You got junk, you need it gone, and you're like, man, I'm going to get around to it. Well, get around to it today and make that appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK and get Trey to come out and do what you need done. and that is getting rid of the junk. You can do this appointment thing, and that is an appointment. It's not one of those, you know, spectrums of time. It's actual day and time. You set the appointment. They come out. You show them the junk you want to disappear, and they'll quote your price right there on the spot. And if you say yes, get to work. Like I said, I've used them personally, used them with the radio station. Hundreds of y'all over at Google, at the Google reviews, have used them with great satisfaction. Go check those out as well. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK and 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Either place you go and set that appointment. So if you need to get junk out of a house you're getting ready to sell, or a garage that used to hold cars and now just has junk, or a storage building removed from a backyard, or a trampoline, or above ground swimming pool, any of those big jobs too, they can handle with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone, give Trey and the crew a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Oh my gosh, let me get in the text line. There's so many texts, but the one that stands out, of course, is the one that's taking me to task. All right, so this texter, and I don't have a name, but is it Dan, maybe? I'm looking back in some other, maybe it's Dan. Says, Sean, please pronounce Wilkes-Barre properly. Okay, so Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. So if you want to send me a text or call in at 343-0106 to give me an update on how you do it. I have, plenty of family. I'll see them Thanksgiving. Live in South Central Pennsylvania. They truck drive and bus drive and go through there, and they call it Wilkes-Barre. I mean, what should it be, like the French pronunciation, right? It has French roots, so it should be le Wilkes-Barre, because it has an accent aigué at the end of it. I mean, I just look like a redneck. I am a redneck, but I did have some education. But if the people there call it Wilkes-Barre, then that's... it's like Chocolata Bay, texter. Chocolata Bay, along the causeway there, is actually Chocolahoochee Bay, right? We call it Chocolata. Everybody calls it Chocolata. But it's just like the, that's the pronunciation. Actually, you change the word in that. You can go to New Orleans and know a little bit something of French and be baffled by like a road like Burgundy, which they call Burgundy in New Orleans. Please educate me how I'm doing Wilkes-Barre incorrect. Should it be Wilkes-Barre? I mean, you could say, well, that's it's a French word. How the people that live there pronounce it, that's what I'm interested in. I've always heard Wilkes-Barre from people up there. But please help me if I am doing it incorrectly. Teach me how. All right. Michael said... Austin would most likely be hard to find the signs through the homeless and purple-haired folks. He was in Waco. I was saying go to Austin. Let's see. Buddy says, for Dr. Phil, whose head's so far up Oprah's rear end to be backing Trump, that says something. Yep. Dr. Phil has started up his own TV channel. It's like, I think, on Roku or something. Because he was so bothered, at least that's his take. He was so bothered by information coming out that's false, and he wanted to clear it up, and he's going to... So, yeah, Dr. Phil, Trump supporter. Chris in Orange Beach says, the thing to realize about Trump is that he's not doing this to become a millionaire. He already is one. He's doing this because he truly cares about country and the U.S.'s citizens. I agree with that. Also thinks he wants to be the president, right? That doesn't bother me. That he wants to be the president. Like I said, if we had a world of just like straight talk from politicians, say, yeah, I want to be the president because it's pretty cool to be the president. But here's why, it's good to have me as your president. And the other ones, if they're coming out of the, I'm trying to think, any, maybe Walls, Chris, is the only one I wouldn't imagine has many zeros in the bank account. I think Vance's time in tech, he's got to have many zeros. Kamala's time in Washington, she probably has lots of zeros there as well, so they probably all have done quite well. All right. Texas said Wilkes-Barre. So Wilkes-Barre versus Wilkes-Barre. Okay. I'm gonna investigate this, and we'll have a homework report for tomorrow's show. We'll talk more about it. All right, I'll do it then, and then in just minutes, it's Paul Feinbaum.